Hello, everyone. We wanted to take a quick moment to thank you all for joining us today. This podcast was recorded and is made available to you by Whitley Penn LLP and WP Wealth LLP solely for informational purposes. The information, views, and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature and are not intended to be construed as the provision of financial or investment advice by Whitley Penn or WP Wealth. The information discussed in this podcast is accurate as of the day it was recorded, but may then become outdated over time. Please feel free to contact us if you have any questions, comments, or concerns in regard to the content presented. Thank you again for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome to another episode of Whitley Penn Talks. I'll be your host today. My name is Shane Miller, and I'm a partner at WP Wealth. And I'm joined today by Bill Weston. He's a senior manager in our group. Bill also leads our internal investment committee. So excited to hear his perspective on our topic today, which is ESG investing. We're thrilled to have an expert on today's topic as our featured guest. Isabel Williams is an investment strategist in Dimensional Fund's Austin office. She's part of the product management team within the firm's Investment Solutions Group, which is responsible for supporting the effective communication of Dimensional's investment approach and strategies to clients and prospective clients. She works across a range of Dimensional's product initiatives and strategies, focusing mainly on ESG investing. She has a bachelor's degree in economics and liberal arts from Notre Dame and a Series 7 license. Welcome, Isabel.
Thanks so much, Shane. I'm so excited to be here. This is one of my favorite topics. Excited to talk about it with you all today.
Absolutely. Well, let's just dive in. So, you know, our audience of folks today are, you know, anywhere from very green on this topic to very experienced. So let's just kind of level set with, what is ESG investing?
Yeah, that's a good question. And you started there with a little bit of a pun. What it, green investors, that could mean a lot of different things in the
Caught
ESG
that, huh?
space. Yeah, so let's get into this. This can be, this is really foundational. What does ESG mean? And it's unfortunately not always the easiest question to answer. So in really simple terms, ESG is an acronym. It stands for environmental, social, and governance. Now, what that all has to do with each other, the way I think about it is, it really gives us a way, a framework for understanding and categorizing non-traditional financial information about companies and investments that we might care about. So that can be things like a company's environmental profile, how green they are. Are they innovating in a way that may take help with battling climate change? Are they potentially at risk as economies shift away from fossil fuels? You know, is that going to happen at all? These are environmental questions that investors care about and have a range of opinions on. Social issues, that second letter. Social can mean a lot of different things. It can mean how a company treats its workers. It could be things like human rights risk in the company's supply chain. Lots of different types of information there that might be important to investors for various reasons. And then finally, that governance piece, which sometimes gets the short stick in ESG conversations. It doesn't always get as much attention, but it's really important because governance is fundamentally how a company runs and manages its business. Who's on the board of directors? How are they elected? How is management compensated? And these are really foundational pieces of running a company effectively. And so from that perspective, investors should really care about them. Now, that laundry list of things I just went through all fits into ESG. And we could talk for the next 45 minutes about other things that can be ESG. That said, I think what it's really important for people to understand is that it's just a way of categorizing these types of environmental, social, and governance information and risks, which can be relevant to investors.
Absolutely. And, you know, I feel like, of course, all those things are important to consider, you know, in making investments. But it seems like this new criteria and the way that people go about investing and measuring this stuff is relatively new. So how long is maybe how long has it been around, but maybe more specifically, how long has Dimensional been specifically doing ESG investing?
Yeah, absolutely. It's an evolving topic for sure. This acronym ESG is really coming to itself in the last few years, but that's not to say that this concept hasn't been around for a while. When we look back to even the 80s when Dimensional got its start, there were certainly movements around this concept that was an older acronym, SRI, socially responsible investing, which had a lot of similarities. So we think back to the 80s and divestment movements that occurred, particularly for large institutional investors. They may have decided they wanted to not invest in, say, tobacco companies in their pension plans, things like that. These are social type preferences that they were expressing in their investment approach. So that's an early form of considering this type of information. And of course, if we think about those governance concepts, those foundational elements of assessing a company's business structure, those things have been a topic of academic research and of investor interest going back at least that far as well. So it's been around for a long time, but what we see in the last certainly 10 years or so is a lot more investment strategies available to more types of investors that seek to specifically address certain environmental or social concerns. And we certainly see a large expansion in the types of issues that people want to address with their investing. And we've seen a lot of data be introduced to address these topics. And so with those different pieces coming together, the last 10 years have certainly been a big acceleration and expansion of this topic and this field, though it has deep roots in the investment community.
Interesting. With all that expansion over the past decade and also just that laundry list of items that you already threw out there at the beginning, I mean, how does Dimensional and these other asset managers, how do they package or really measure all those different factors that make up ESG investing? How do they include that into an investment product?
Yeah, that's a really important question. It's a really challenging question. I think because of all those different things that can go into these ESG buckets, this is a critical piece. And not everyone can even agree on what is ESG. One person may think that certain environmental issues are high priority. Another person may think certain social issues should be the highest priority. So we have a foundational challenge there. And then when you talk about this idea of measurement, that can really vary issue to issue. There are some issues that are pretty easy to get an objective measure on. For example, if I care about board diversity at a company, I may be able to fairly easily find out how many women are on the board at a company. If I care about how green a company is, though, what does that mean? What variables do I want to look at? And certainly for some variables, it's really hard to measure subjectively. There's a lot of opinion involved. And so this concept of how we want to measure details relating to environmental, social, and governance factors is really important. And you'll find so many different ways people go about it. When I think from Dimensional's perspective, how we try to treat these issues, we have a long history as a firm of being focused on academic and empirical research, looking to use data in systematic quantitative ways. And so we try to find ways of measuring ESG issues in as scientifically robust a manner as possible. So if we care about something like climate change, we don't necessarily want to make guesses or opinions on what type of products will be benefit in a changing economy or which will be harmed. We want to find something that the science tells us is really linked to the issue of climate change. So we're going to focus on something like a company's emissions, their greenhouse gas emissions. That gives us something that's kind of close to the bottom level foundational reporting on climate change that we can manage. And that works for us, but it's really important when someone gets interested in this topic and sees strategies that may claim to do this or anything really on this topic to look and try to figure out how are things being measured And is it a way that I can understand and follow and that aligns with my priorities? Because this is, there's a lot of variety out there. Now, I have actually a question for you all. Now, you've been helping clients with this for years, I assume. How has your experience of ESG responsible investing changed over the years? Like when you think back a few years ago to now, if a client comes to you with these issues?
Yeah, it's interesting because like everything in the investment world, it's ever changing. We're moving more to customization and I think clients' needs around ESG are evolving as well. And so, you know, we have to be mindful of the appropriateness of the investment, the cost, the performance, all of that, but also take into consideration their objectives for some of the ESG factors. So I think it's an additional layer that is becoming necessary to consider in each client's investment outlook. And so it's certainly an important part of what we're doing, but it's, as you said, always evolving.
And Isabel, you know, you kind of touched on this with the measuring component and the empirical evidence and the foundations behind ESG investing. You know, I know you can't really speak for other asset managers, but building on Dimensional's perspective on just how you maintain that ESG fit as opposed to the other asset management products that Dimensional offers.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when we talk about how do we want to pursue ESG? How do we want to incorporate it? One of the concepts that Shane just brought up is super relevant. This is something investors are interested in. And really our goal at Dimensional is to design investment strategies that help clients achieve their goals and work with advisors who seek to help investors achieve their goals. And so when investors tell us, hey, this is something I care about, I want to invest my money in a way that reflects my values, we go to the drawing board and think, okay, how can we do this in a really robust, sound, financially sound manner? And that's our focus. And that means that a really key part of this is what does an investor want to achieve? In the ESG space, I don't think one size always fits all. There are a lot of these issues that can matter to people and they matter to varying degrees. So One concept that's certainly coming up more in the industry is, does ESG help improve your investment experience? And as an asset manager who is trying to help clients achieve investment goals, that's important for us to study. And we look at that carefully. I talked a little bit about governance, that foundational, how is a business being run aspect of all of this. That can be super important to investors, regardless of their environmental and social goals. So at Dimensional, for example, if we think a company's executive compensation practices aren't aligned with shareholder interests, that's something that we're going to seek to talk to the company about. We're going to consider when we vote proxies on behalf of the funds we manage. And so in that sense, we'll consider ESG whenever we think it helps us help our clients achieve their goals. And if a client comes to us and says, I really care about climate change, it's an important issue to me, or, hey, I have faith-based considerations that I'd like to incorporate in how I invest, we have decades of experience systematically integrating those types of client preferences into an investment strategy. And so we can do that as well. But it really comes down to what is a client hoping to get out of ESG? Are they hoping to align with their values? Are they just hoping to make sure their investments are being managed responsibly? Those are all appropriate goals that we can help clients meet.
So I have a question. You know, often investors think about ESG and one of their thoughts is, you know, I'm not giving my money to such and such company, right? You know, are they correct in that way of thinking? And then also, how is that different, or how is ESG different from, you know, what you hear about as activist investing?
Yeah. So there's a lot in that question to unpack, and you're kind of keen in on one important aspect of ESG, which is that this can be really emotional for people. These are their life savings. And one reason they become interested in ESG is because they don't want to use their life savings in a way, even if they're looking to protect their own financial future, in a way that contradicts their values and their personal priorities. And that's an understandably sensitive topic. One thing that I think is important when we're talking about ESG investing in the way that Dimensional typically is we're talking about investing primarily in stocks and bonds. And we're not typically buying those stocks and bonds directly from the company. We're buying them from other investors on exchanges, that sort of thing. So this is really more complicated and more removed than just handing a company your money. When you're buying a company stock, your typically primary way of interacting directly with the company is actually through voting. The money that you've invested doesn't go directly to the company in that sense. So when you're deciding whether or not to invest in the company, it's not really about giving them your money. It's deciding if you want your investment strategy exposed to that company's business, because the money that you take in, whether that be through long-term gains or through dividends paid out, is coming from that company's business. And you also will get the chance to vote, for example, for the company's directors and things like that. So you have a seat at the company's ownership table, essentially, even if it is a very small seat with a lot of other investors. And so that's the sort of way to think about this, which doesn't mean that you necessarily would like to be invested in that company. I mentioned a while back, tobacco divestment has been something that many investors have undertaken for a long time. Some investors may think, you know what, I don't want to profit from that. That's not something I want in my portfolio. And they may decide to exclude them. Another investor who also cares about the issue might decide, you know what, I want to vote at that company. I want to have a say in how their business is being run. And that gets us a little bit to your second part of your question, which is about how is this different from activist investing, or I guess really, what is activist investing? And activist investing is really when you invest with the goal of shifting a company's business strategy. And that might sound a little bit like what I was just describing. You want a seat at the table. If you're an activist, you probably want a lot of seats at the table. And you want to push an agenda. You want to shape the company's business. I don't know, maybe you want to get them out of being a tobacco company. Now, that's actually going to be different, because most investors, when Dimensional thinks about investing on behalf of our funds, we're not activists in our goals. We're trying to make sure that the company is working in the best interest of shareholders, which means they're making financially responsible decisions. We're not going in with a social or environmental agenda and hoping to change that company's business. That's a really different style of investing. There's a lot of risks involved, and that's activism. You'll see headlines with, you know, hedge fund type approaches mm-hmm. that are doing that. And it's certainly an interesting topic. But when we're talking about ESG investing at Dimensional, we're really talking about approaches that seek to balance environmental and social goals with long-term financial goals. And so we're really trying to be cognizant of risk management, best investment practices, and that sort of thing, while also considering if investors prefer not to be exposed to an issue at all. I hope that helps. There's a lot in that question. We could talk about all that for a while.
very interesting. I think well put. And so, you know, you think about, okay, we're introducing these screens, right? Things that we want included or excluded based on our values, and things that are in line with what we're trying to accomplish. And so, you know, Dimensional, really, it's an evidence-based approach, right? Some people maybe call it passive, but it seems like ESG maybe injects an element of active into the mix. Am I saying that right? Is that accurate?
Well, it really depends on what you define as active and passive. And again, just trying to understand what an investor's goals are and how a strategy tries to tackle those goals. So when I think about what makes some strategies active, it's really having a bit of, it's having freedom to try to go out there and beat the market in some way. And there's all sorts of different ways that people might try to do that and try to outsmart the market and other investors. And Dimensional, which I know you're very familiar with, Shane, is really not trying to outguess the broad market. We have a ton of academic and empirical evidence that suggests that that is a losing game to play in the long term. And so what we do instead is try to invest really systematically and broadly and pursue investments that over the long run, evidence suggests will deliver higher expected returns. And so we do that through, for example, investing more in value companies or high profitability companies, these areas that research tells us deliver higher expected returns over the long term. And so when we add the environmental or social component to that, so then when we have a strategy where someone says, hey, I want to pursue a climate change focused approach, what we do there is something similar. We look to the science, we look to the evidence and say, okay, how can we incorporate a client's environmental and social preferences into this strategy? In the case of climate change, I mentioned, we're going to be looking at, can we integrate information about emissions into this portfolio? It really just gives us another parameter. We're not pursuing companies with lower emissions because we think they will perform better over the long run. The evidence hasn't so far told us that to be the case. We're pursuing it because it's a parameter that an investor has given us. Similar to if an investor said, I don't want to invest in international markets, that would be a parameter that we could include. And so within those parameters, we're not trying to make bets and outsmart everyone. We're trying to be really systematic, really cost-effective in pursuing what research tells us will be a solid investment approach. So it's not about outguessing. It's about setting up your parameters to meet investor goals and then being really focused in following evidence-based investing practices.
So you've got all the good that Dimensional brings to the table, tailored to fit your values. Perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
And that brings another question, as an advisor here at WP Wealth, and for any advisor out there that is working with a client and helping them manage their assets, we go through a due diligence process in evaluating the opportunities that are available to them and making sure that it's a good fit or there's some sort of suitability associated with the client and what they're trying to accomplish. Is there anything different with ESG investing that needs to be considered, from the standard, you're looking at fund performance, costs, implementation, volatility?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's nothing different. It's, in fact, I would say it just, those same things apply even more because when we're doing this environmental and social investing, as I said, these topics can be emotional. They could be really attractive. They could feel really good. But at the end of the day, this type of ESG investing is about pursuing those investment goals too. This isn't charitable giving. This isn't, making impact investments with really high risk, but high societal payoff. People are trying to pursue retirement, college savings, all those goals. And so I think when considering ESG investing, it's so important to still focus with your advisor on those foundational investment practices. So things like cost. Historically, we look back, that was often a big issue on these types of strategies. Look at performance. We've talked about the fact that this isn't really new, though it is developing. So what sort of a track record does a manager have? Is it one that gives you confidence? What is the investment objective of the approach? Is it intertwined with the ESG component? Is it compromised by it? These are really important questions. And I think part of why this approach, having an advisor to work with, can be really critical because there is so much emotion attached to it. And there can be parts of an environmental or social narrative that might pull your attention from these foundational considerations of what makes a good investment approach. And it's really important to not forget that, because that's still the goal of what we're doing here, is to have a good long-term investment experience.
What about taxes? I mean, obviously taxes are very important here at WP Wealth and Whitley Penn. Are there any additional considerations for ESG investing?
I think it really is similar to what the sorts of tax considerations that all investors need to think about with their advisors. How tax efficient is an approach? What is it going to mean for their specific situation? And again, that same idea of, even if this is a really exciting opportunity for an investor, working really carefully with an advisor to assess their unique circumstances and what moving to this sort of investing might mean. And of course, it depends on every client's situation. But I think the real important consideration is to not ignore it and to make sure it's a part of the conversation. This environmental and social type investing, it's a piece of the puzzle, but it's never the full picture of your investment experience, nor should it be. We have to think about it, your environmental and social goals, along with your long-term performance goals, your tax circumstances, maybe even other parts of your financial life, like charitable giving. And that's the sort of thing that an advisor can help an investor sort of sift through and prioritize for their unique situation.
So I'm curious, you know, we just went through a really challenging year last year. What would you say the impact of the pandemic had on ESG investing?
It certainly didn't seem to slow down the level of interest in this sort of thing. And in some ways, I think it may have accelerated people's interest in environmental and social investing. And it certainly seems to, in some instances, have shifted the types of issues that people care about. And so there was a lot of concern for how are companies treating their workers. That became a lot of importance. I think some governance considerations that maybe people hadn't been top of mind for people became really important. You know, a lot of investor concern and anxiety came from, what is the company going to do with this situation? Things are changing, moving around. I'm worried that the company will make the wrong step. And as an investor, one, that's an exhausting way to think about your investment portfolio. And two, it's not your job. That's the job of the board of directors at these companies. They're in place to effectively manage companies' businesses. And so it became really important all of a sudden to make sure that those boards were equipped to steer companies through a continuing to be really uncertain time. Were they designing effective pay packages for their executives? How were they managing the risks of the pandemic? These things became really important to a lot of investors. And so certainly the types of engagements we were having with companies discussed and focused on these issues. And just overall, I think more investors began to sort of connect the dots between these ESG type of concerns and companies' real performance in a difficult situation. So it's certainly been a challenging time, but a time that a lot of investors have paid more attention to ESG and sort of thought about what they think their ESG goals are and what that would look like for them in an investment strategy.
Yeah, and building on that, you know, it seems like there has been a lot more attention. The ESG has been absolutely more in the headlines when it comes to investing. So it seems like there's catalysts for growth out there within the ESG space. But what do you see as a continued growing pain for ESG investing? Is there any headwinds, short-term, long-term, that you see being a struggle for ESG investing?
Yeah, there's a couple, and they're important ones. There maybe have been for good reason. One would be going back to an earlier part of our discussion about how do we measure these things and what level of transparency is there in these topics. And I think that's really important. You know, you have to look beyond the label of a lot of these ESG type investing approaches. People are attracted by a wrapper that speaks to exactly the social issue on their mind in the moment, whatever the headline topic is. And that's understandable. These are serious topics. These are your life savings. But just because something's been branded a certain way doesn't necessarily mean it's really achieving anything aligned with those goals. It has a good way of measuring those goals. And certainly it may not mean that it has a clear way of communicating to you, an investor, over the years, what it's doing. So that really does present a challenge to investors. And I think we are starting to see some give pause as they try to figure out, okay, so this sounds really good, but what am I actually getting when you tell me that this is a quote unquote green fund? Is other than this, other than the fact that your brochure is green, what is this whole thing about? And I think that's good. That's important, because you need to have clear reporting on these things. No one would buy an investment fund if I couldn't tell you what its performance was or what its fees were. And so by the same token, if something purports to be environmental, you should understand what that means. What sort of characteristics is it offering investors along those dimensions? So I think that data transparency issue, getting good quality data to measure these issues, that's a opportunity and a headwind, and something that people are paying a lot of attention to. Another one that I think is interesting, and it'll be interesting to see where it goes, is the fact that historically a lot of ESG investing has been offered through mutual funds, ETFs, that sort of thing. And when you're investing in that sort of structure, you're inevitably dealing with a little bit of a one-size-fits-all challenge. And I've said before, ESG is often not a good set of one-size-fits-all issues. People have different priorities, different issues they care about. But when you're investing in a mutual fund, there's a need to find a balance that will suit a number of different investors so you can get some of those benefits of scale and present a robust and broadly appealing approach. And so, you know, when I think about how Dimensional has approached that with something like a climate change focused fund, we know that's an issue of broad importance to people. We know we can focus on emissions data and reduce emissions exposure. That is a strong environmental theme that we can offer. But we also hear really consistently from clients and advisors that there are more targeted issues they want to address and pursue that align with their personal values and priorities. And so I think we'll start to see more types of custom, separately managed account type solutions that allow investors to kind of get in there and really personalize things to their own preferences. And that's an interesting opportunity set for sure, because it allows people to really be thoughtful and customized in how they think about these issues.
Yeah, to your first point, you know, and part of the reason why we've enjoyed partnering with Dimensional in the past, y'all have done an incredible job of delivering what you say this product is in this product. And so I'm sure that Dimensional won't have any issues with making sure that their ESG products truly are ESG products. And then speaking of what Dimensional offers, can you give us an overview of what's actually available within Dimensional from the environmental, sustainable, and governance perspective?
Yeah, certainly. So I've alluded to a couple of times, one way we do this is what we call our sustainability funds, which are really environmentally focused in nature. And they do focus on that climate change piece by trying to reduce an investor's exposure to emissions. And so that's the focus of those portfolios. They're designed to still give a great Dimensional investment experience, but with the added goal of pursuing lower emissions exposure. And so that's something that, in the case of those funds, we report on a quarterly basis. So that's something that people can get online, see the emissions exposure for those strategies. That's really, I would link that closely to the E in ESG. Now, we also do social investment strategies. And historically at Dimensional, our social funds have been aligned with certain religious values. And that's certainly been a long-standing area of client concern. Certain faith groups have agreed upon or communicated investment guidelines, areas of the market they may not want to invest in. So we offer strategies that tend to align with some of those groups' priorities. And then, so if we think of that as part of the S, then we get to the G. And I really do think G is kind of the unsung hero often of the ESG story. And so for us, governance isn't a specific, we don't offer a governance fund, say. What we do is really consider governance everywhere. Across all of our equity strategies, we look at how can we effectively engage with these companies? How can we vote responsibly? Really, what are all the things we can do to help improve shareholder value through making sure this company has good corporate governance practices? So governance happens anywhere and everywhere across what Dimensional is offering. And then additionally, I've mentioned there's this move towards offering the ability to customize. When we talk about more custom solutions, that those can touch on things across the E, S, and G buckets, and people can kind of combine and look at different ways to do those things. Because at the end of the day, like I said, this is really about understanding what an investor's ESG goals are, because they're not all going to be the same. And then seeing if there's a solution that helps them achieve those goals while still making sure that they have that investment experience, because that is really why we're all here. It's to make sure that the retirement savings are there, make sure that the college savings are there, and all that sort of thing. So I personally know I get really excited about environmental and social topics, and it's such an interesting area. But at the end of the day, it comes back to, can we deliver a good investment experience that helps people prepare for their future? Now, I'm curious, because I think one of the reasons I love working with advisors on this topic is that they understand the nuances here and can help investors really prioritize this environmental and social topic amongst all the other things they have to consider. So if you have a client who comes to you today, and maybe they heard this podcast and they're interested in this topic, what's the next step? How does that conversation go from there?
Yeah, you know, that would fall in along the lines of many of the other discussions that we have with our clients and prospects about investing, you know, really understanding what it is that they're trying to accomplish. What are you saving for? What are you investing for? All those reasons that are driving the initiation of a relationship with us. It's really just trying to sit there and understand what's the foundation of that. And then once we determine what the foundation is, you know, we can start making decisions about any ESG opportunities that would make sense for them. Maybe it does come into a more customized solution through SMA. So really just going through a formal discussion and understanding what's at the root of that will help us identify and place them or put them in the right direction.
Right. Well, Isabel, is there anything, you know, that you'd like to maybe share with our audience about, you know, if you have interest in ESG investing, what are some good resources? Where do you start if you're just trying to kind of dip your toe into the ESG world?
Yeah, sure. I think starting with an advisor who you trust, or reaching out to an advisor, is an awesome first step. There's a lot of information out there, and it can get really confusing. So if you start to dig into this on your own and you're kind of getting confused, that's not on you. There's a lot of information out there, a lot of different ways of defining these topics. And I think because the goal here is, again, to safeguard and protect a strong financial future for yourself and your family, working with an advisor is probably the most critical thing you can do to sift through the noise and figure out what will work for you. And beyond that, of course, we have lots of information on our website, including information about some of the topics we talked about today. But I think the best thing you can do is sit down and have a conversation, just like Bill was talking about, and begin to look at what those priorities are for you and what the right approach is, because it's not necessarily black and white, and it really depends on your circumstances and what you're trying to accomplish. And so I think making this a part of your financial picture, a piece of the puzzle, is really exciting and can really improve your engagement with your investment portfolio and outcomes, but the other pieces of the puzzle matter quite a bit too. And so that's the sort of thing when we start to get into these complicated pictures, that's when I really think working with that advisor and seeing what works for you and your family and your circumstances is the best way you can go.
Well, I certainly learned a lot today. I know this is a deep topic and we could probably do, you know, many other episodes going down the different avenues of ESG, but just want to say thank you, Isabel, for your perspective on this. It's very helpful. I appreciate our audience for tuning in. And if you would like to follow our channel, subscribe wherever the podcast is posted, be sure to like, comment, and share. And if you have any questions about any of the topics we discussed today, please reach out to us on LinkedIn or go to our website, wpwealth.com, and you can get in touch with us. We'd be happy to address any questions. So with that, we're going to conclude today's episode. I hope this was helpful for everyone. Have a great day.